Today is March 2nd, 2017. I am Kyra Mann. I'm the CEO of MitoAction, and I'd like to welcome everybody to today's call. We are excited to have Greg McPherson, CEO and President of MitoQ Limited, as our guest speaker today. Also on the line with us is Mary Beth Hollinger, and Mary Beth is our Director of Patient Support and Advocacy, and I'm sure you all know Mary Beth best for the incredible support that she offers and the leadership she provides through our MITO 411 program. So welcome to both Greg and Mary Beth. And Mary Beth will also be facilitating the Q&A at the end of today's presentation. So before we get started, I'd just like to share a few reminders for the call today. Again, you're going to hear some beeps throughout the call as people are logging in, and we'll just continue to move forward as people join in, and we welcome everyone to continue to join in throughout the duration. We would also ask that everyone make sure your phone is on mute unless you're asking a question during the Q&A at the end of the call. And in order to mute your line, you'll just hit *6 to mute it and *6 again to unmute each of your individual lines. The slides for today's calls are up and available on our website if you have not been able to connect with those as well. They're available at www.mitoaction.org/MitoQ-update. And on the right-hand side of the page, you'll see a link that says View Slides. And if for any reason you're having issues accessing those slides, feel free to email Mary Beth at mito411@mitoaction.org, and she will connect you and send you those slides directly. Today's call, as I said, is being recorded, so we encourage everybody to visit the website and re-listen to the information as we'll be sharing today. It's great information. Please, we encourage you to share that with your family, your caregivers, your medical team, or anyone that you think might benefit from today's call. And in order to access the recording, again, on our website, on our main landing page at www.mitoaction.org, on the upper left-hand side of the main landing page, you'll see a green button that says MITO Podcast Listen Now. And if you just click that button, you'll find not only today's call, but all of the podcasts with some incredible information and great topics that will be useful to you. And at the end of the presentation, we'll have a short Q&A session, so feel free to email your questions to Mary Beth at mito411@mitoaction.org, or if you're comfortable and would prefer, you can ask your questions live at the end of the call. So let's get started. Again, I said my name is Kyra Mann. I'm the CEO of MitoAction, and I'm honored to be here with everybody today to bring what we hope will be some great information that will benefit each of you on your journey with mitochondrial disease. All the way from New Zealand, we're excited to have today's guest speaker, Greg McPherson. Greg is the Chief Executive Officer and President of MitoQ Limited. The company is dedicated to introducing MitoQ, a mitochondria-targeted antioxidant skincare and supplement range. And Greg is going to share with us an update on the research that's been going on at MitoQ Limited. So, Greg, I will turn it over to you if you want to just give a brief overview of the company and then share with us the amazing things that you guys are doing.
Good stuff, Kyra. Thank you very much. Welcome, everybody, from sunny Auckland, New Zealand. Thanks very much for calling into the presentation. So we're going to talk today a little bit about the company and the history. We'll cover some of the research that's been happening over the last year or so, and it'll basically give everybody, a view of what MitoQ is, how it works, and some of the research that we've done recently. So before I get started, I just feel obligated to for our FDA friends to say that whatever we talk about today hasn't been evaluated by the FDA, and MitoQ is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. All right, so with that, we'll get started on the presentation. So at the start of this presentation, I actually designed this presentation to talk with a bunch of doctors at a conference up in Las Vegas at the end of last year. And so I put some pretty pictures of New Zealand in the front end here. So if you want to flip through those and enjoy those wee pics, and by all means, come and visit us down here at some time. We'd love to see you. You'll recognize perhaps the older gentleman there from one of our more famous movies that's based in New Zealand. All right, so MitoQ had an interesting history. The the concept of targeting mitochondria with antioxidants was developed and thought up by a couple of quite smart chaps at Otago University in Dunedin at the turn of the century. And what they were looking at was the link between oxidative stress, mitochondrial dysfunction, and disease. And whilst they could see that it made sense that if you swallowed lots of antioxidants that it should actually impact on benefiting disease, what they were finding is that the better the clinical trial, the worse that general antioxidants performed. So what they thought about was, well, perhaps let's get antioxidants to the source of oxidative stress. Let's see if we can get them into mitochondria. And from that conversation and from that that question, they developed a concept of targeting mitochondria. And what they did there was add a positive charge to antioxidants. And because mitochondria are negatively charged, they actually found a way to get these antioxidants into the mitochondria in meaningful levels. So that was a pretty exciting time. A company that was formed. We came up to America and got some VC funds and went down the track of looking to see if we could do have a positive intervention on Parkinson's disease. So we worked up all the way to a phase two clinical trial for Parkinson's disease, but unfortunately that trial failed. And subsequent to that trial, we've done work with a mouse model of Parkinson's disease, and it appears MitoQ, if we get it in early enough, then it will delay the onset of the disease and it will delay the progression of it. So it was rather unfortunate, and essentially when you when Parkinson's disease manifests, you probably 80% of the damage is already done. So whilst MitoQ won't assist perhaps dead cells, it'll certainly support the live ones. And we've just got to, once we get a marker for Parkinson's, perhaps 10 years before it actually turns up, that's potentially the time to take MitoQ. Unfortunately, with that failure, the money left the company. The VCs lost interest, so it was a particularly difficult time. We did put together a clinical trial for hepatitis C, and that went particularly well. But again, we didn't have the money to keep going. So around about 2007, that happened, and the company basically went silent for a few years. But in the background, what was happening was that there was more and more scientists were identifying the link between mitochondrial dysfunction and diseases, and they were requesting MitoQ to test in animal models, like mice models of various diseases. And we started to get a lot of research coming back, very positive research, suggesting that MitoQ has quite a beneficial effect in any kind of condition associated with mitochondrial dysfunction. So given that we'd done the clinical trials and we could see that MitoQ was a perfectly safe compound, we as a company pivoted and launched a skincare range and a supplement range. And that was back around 4 or 5 years ago. And we got quite lucky after we launched the supplement. There was a trial in a mouse model of multiple sclerosis, and in that mouse model, MitoQ got these mice up and running again, and from that, the MS community got quite engaged with our product, and around 40% of our customers are now people with MS, and we have quite a significant effect for that community in helping them with the fatigue and just general cognitive function associated with MS. Subsequent to that, a few months later, we got a
new bit of news. Can you just try calling me? Question mark. I'm on a conference call till 4 o'clock, period.
Right. Just wondering if we could mute that call, please. Okay. All right. So this we had MitoQ in a mouse model of something called endothelial dilation dysfunction. This is essentially the dysfunction of our arteries as we age. Our arteries get kind of, what's the word, firm, stiff, if you will. MitoQ, after 4 weeks, got the arteries functioning like a juvenile, so which was pretty exciting. And we've gone on to do some human research with this team, and I'll talk about that a little later. So I'm now on to the slide which talks about patient months. So over the last 4 years, we've now accumulated over 200,000 patient months experience with MitoQ. We've sold MitoQ into 100-plus countries, if you will. We've achieved self-affirmed GRAS status, which gives us an status in America, and we're able to now sell MitoQ on the ground in America, so we're quite excited about that. And as a company, we've gone from a couple of SKUs to 12, and we are growing quite quickly. We plan to have another 6 to 7 SKUs this year and have a significant pipeline.
Yes.
So my mission in life and company mission is to raise awareness around mitochondria and the link between if function
the
and
conference
our
is now in silent longevity. Mode.
So what really, you know, I don't really need to tell any of you how important mitochondria are to our health. We are made up, I think there's about 20% of our body weight in mitochondria. I think if we actually look at our dry weight, it's 50%. So we're almost more MitoQ than you. More mitochondria than you. And these little organelles are just absolutely so vital to our health. And everybody experiences some level of mitochondrial dysfunction. And anybody over the age of 40 will be absolutely experiencing it. It may not be manifesting right now, but as we head into our 50s and 60s, then certainly these mitochondria are in decline, and we experience decline in energy and many other symptoms. Unfortunately, for those that are born with some sort of mitochondrial dysfunction, that's accelerated, and they experience that fairly early. And so, I guess everybody has some level of mitochondrial dysfunction, and our job is to raise awareness around that and really to show people there are technologies and products which can help alleviate some of that dysfunction. So MitoQ is a derivative of CoQ10. CoQ10 is a very important antioxidant inside the mitochondria. You'll see on that next slide there's a very long molecule up the top there. That is CoQ10. It's an interesting molecule in that it has two functions. It's involved in the generation of ATP in the mitochondria, and it's also an antioxidant. So that's the two functions it has. It's a very large, oily molecule that's designed to sit in membranes. And because of that, it doesn't cross membranes easily, and mitochondria actually make their own CoQ10 for that reason. So a lot of the CoQ10 that you might be taking or giving people with mitochondrial disease, it'll be getting into the bloodstream and a little bit will get into the cell, but it won't get across the mitochondrial membrane in any significant quantities. And so what we've done, if we flip to the next slide, is that we shortened it a wee bit and we put a positive charge on it. And in doing that, what we've done is we've been able to find a way to get this molecule is called MitoQ, is to get the MitoQ into the mitochondria. And it gets into the mitochondria roughly 800 to 1,200 times more than regular CoQ10. That's a significant breakthrough. Excuse me, I'll just grab a water. So that's quite a significant breakthrough because no one has been able to get antioxidants back into the mitochondria again. As you know, mitochondria generate the energy for our cells, and in the process, they generate 90 to 95% of the free radicals in our cell. Because of that, they are teeming with antioxidants when they're healthy. When we're young, there's a bunch of antioxidants, and they're there to basically protect the mitochondria from all the free radicals that have been generated in this energy-generating process. And that's important because when our antioxidant capacity declines in the mitochondria, two things happen. One is that they get damaged because they're exposed to a lot of oxidative stress. The other thing that happens is that they leak free radicals into the cell, and that causes the cell to go under stress, if you will. And that'll mean that these free radicals leak into the cell, damage the DNA, damage the cellular machinery. And what we're describing is aging, but in certain diseases and conditions, that's accelerated. And mitochondria don't work so well, and the cell is damaged. So by getting the antioxidant capacity up in these mitochondria, we are significantly protecting them and enhancing their function. I like to explain it like a car engine, in that a car engine works beautifully on day one, but at day 20 or year 20, if you've done nothing to tune it up, it's running hot, it's not delivering the power it used to, and a whole bunch of pollution is running out the exhaust pipe. So with MitoQ, what is coming in, we are tuning the engine and we are preventing that pollution getting into the cell. So what MitoQ does when we take it, is that it rapidly goes from the stomach into the bloodstream and into the mitochondria, and then it goes and sits itself in the mitochondrial membrane. And that's quite significant because it protects that membrane, and the inner mitochondrial membrane has a lot of jobs to do. And if we go through to the next slide, I won't get you to read all this, but you can see there is a huge amount of activity in that membrane. And so MitoQ comes in and gets that membrane stabilized and protects it, and all these activities are rescued and enhanced. And so that includes making ATP. It includes you can read it all there. So we're not just impacting on one particular enzyme system or one particular process. We're actually benefiting the entire process. And that is thought to be one of the reasons that MitoQ is so significant in terms of its activity and in terms of its ability to protect the mitochondria and get things going again properly. So what makes MitoQ different? So I'm flipping through to the next slide here. We've got three key things that makes MitoQ significantly different to other antioxidants. So the first thing is that we're mitochondria targeted. And again, if you look at, say, taking a regular antioxidant, and that includes again, what's happening is that these antioxidants are getting into the cell and they're protecting the cell. But if you ever think about, protecting the cell by using, I don't know, let's say it's a baseball glove, and that baseball mitt, if that's the antioxidant, the free radical, that mitt is able to catch one antioxidant at a time, and that antioxidant may have damaged quite a bit of the cell before that antioxidant gets near it. So what we're doing is essentially putting a ring of protection around the mitochondria and protecting and reducing oxidative stress before it gets the chance to get out into the cell and cause damage, and that's quite significant. The next thing is that MitoQ is a selective versus a broad-spectrum antioxidant. And again, that's important because what we're learning now is that free radicals aren't all bad. In fact, they're quite important. And so it's important to have your little Goldilocks zone of a certain amount of free radicals. And so too little free radicals is bad, and too many free radicals is bad. So you've got to sit in this middle zone. And what I mean by too little free radicals is that the mitochondria and the cell use free radicals to communicate communicate messages between the cell and the mitochondria and the nucleus. And if you shut down that signaling, that's not necessarily a good thing. And there are trials coming out now, and they've been coming out for the last few years, showing in some cases people who are taking lots of antioxidants, some specific antioxidants, actually have a higher chance of death over the long term than those people not taking antioxidants. And it's potentially because that messaging that is being shut down between the mitochondria and the nucleus. And a good example of that is a trial recently where a group of older men, two groups of older men, one were doing exercise with antioxidants and the other weren't. And both groups got benefit in terms of increased fitness from the exercise, but the group that didn't take antioxidants got more muscle growth. And that's suggests that the free radical signaling that's occurring during that exercise is causing stress and then causing a response, which is the increased muscle mass. So I think there'll be a lot more work around this as we go forward, and it'll show that it's not always good to overdose on antioxidants. So what MitoQ does is it's quite unique in that it's delivering back the mitochondrial's natural Q antioxidant. And that antioxidant is actually designed to facilitate the quenching of some free radical species and actually ignoring others. And that means those other antioxidants, free radicals, can actually go into the cell and do that signaling that they're meant to do. Thirdly, we're a recycling antioxidant. So we actually, just like CoQ10 inside the mitochondria, we go and sit inside the mitochondrial membrane, and as we quench a free radical, we actually then recycle and are ready to quench another antioxidant. So it means we don't need much MitoQ, and that's the reason that our daily dose is recommended at the 5 to 10 milligram mark, as opposed to perhaps CoQ10, where for effective dose you're looking at perhaps 100 to 300 milligrams. So why is all this important? Well, mitochondrial dysfunction is now linked to over 200 diseases and conditions, and they're the big ones. Alzheimer's disease, Parkinson's disease, diabetes, cardiovascular disease. They've all got an element of mitochondrial dysfunction, and specifically, say cardiovascular disease, the heart itself is most cells have perhaps 200-300 mitochondria in each. The heart cells, myocytes, have up to half of the cell contents are mitochondria, and this is just because of the high energy demands of that particular organ. And so the more mitochondria in there, the more important it is to keep them working well. Mitochondrial dysfunction is linked to aging. There's just so many reasons that we need to tune up and keep our mitochondria good and healthy. And like I said before, even if we're healthy, we are experiencing mitochondrial dysfunction from our 40s, and mitochondrial function is actually declines 10% every decade from our 30s. It doesn't manifest until our 40s and 50s, but it's absolutely happening. So over the last 15 years, we've accumulated $50 million worth of research on MitoQ, over 200 published papers, and there is a wealth of research that's coming. It's quite exciting. We're as a company, being contacted by between one and three research groups a week and supplying MitoQ for them. So there is going to be an absolute avalanche of MitoQ research that's coming over the next few years. Over the last 15 years, we've evaluated MitoQ across 70 different disease models, and we were very excited to be invited into the NIA's anti-aging program. It's called the Interventions Testing Program. This is a program which is run by some of the world's leading anti-aging researchers in the States. It's a three-center study, and that was started at the end of 2015. So this group of researchers are feeding a group of mice MitoQ as they naturally live, and then measuring that against a group of mice that just have placebo. And it's just the group of mice with getting MitoQ are getting, and they're drinking water, and they've had it from perhaps the equivalent of human age of say 25, and we'll start to get results from that in 2018. It's very exciting. You get invited onto that program if there's a fairly high evidence that you'll improve lifespan by 10 to 15%. So that's exciting. And then we've got clinical research underway, which we'll talk about a little later as well. In terms of a wee bit of name dropping here, we have, working with the University of Colorado, the Johns Hopkins School of Medicine, UCLA, and various other research institutions in the States and around the world. So this slide here, which is talking about mitochondrial research and where it's only just starting, is that the picture here is that we actually know quite a bit about mitochondria. We don't know much about the rest of what's going on, and there is increasing research, and we're talking, starting to get near the $1 billion mark per annum on understanding what's happening with mitochondria, and that's really exciting because that's with that research direction, there are going to be some fantastic compounds that come out that actually can target specific issues associated with mitochondrial dysfunction. We are relatively lucky in that we've been doing this for quite a while. We understand that MitoQ is perhaps not specific, but what it does is that actually, because it looks after that mitochondrial membrane, it facilitates and helps a wide raft of dysfunction and different types of dysfunction. So moving on to the next group of slides, I just wanted, this is taken from mitochondrialdiseasenews.com. It's just a snippet of the different condition, examples of what's happening out there in terms of research and the link between mitochondrial dysfunction. MitochondrialDiseaseNews.com is a fantastic place just to subscribe to because it just talks a lot about the research that's happening out there. So if you're not familiar with that site, I fully recommend it. So this one here is just talking about mitochondrial renewal and how it assists the intestinal wall and helps with gut disease. And this is not specifically MitoQ. This is just general research on mitochondrial dysfunction. As we age, mitochondrial function declines, and that increases the risk of diet-induced fatty liver disease. The next slide here is really interesting. I'm not sure how people are doing this, but whatever they're doing, they're pretty smart, but they've worked out how to transplant mitochondria. And in this specific condition, which is a lung condition, it seemed to ease the issue. That's really exciting, and it's exciting for us as well because when we tune up MitoQ, it's very similar to perhaps the similar situation to perhaps transplanting because we get the mitochondria working properly again. You'll probably be familiar, but there's some interesting work that's being done on the link between mitochondrial dysfunction and autism. Again, really interesting here, mothers can pass obesity to their offspring through mitochondrial DNA. So we're doing some interesting work down in New Zealand with some of the groups, some of the population here that have obese mums. And what they're finding with these particular groups is their offspring are getting type 2 or adult onset diabetes at the age of as young as 10 years old. And it's thought to be related to the mitochondria and the dysfunction associated with obesity has been sent down to the offspring. And that is interesting as well because there's further work which showing that even it can be passed on to the offspring of the offspring, if you will. So as a mum, it's important to be eating as well as you can during pregnancy. Mitochondrial changes can help the immune cells, and what we're seeing here is some research showing MitoQ can perhaps resuscitate some of the immune cells that are fatigued, and that can boost immunity in certain conditions. We'll flip. This is a page here. You can see three mice there. Essentially, there's a group of mice that have been bred with mitochondrial dysfunction, and these particular mice have a shorter lifespan. And what the researchers have done here is deliver a healthy mitochondria into these mice, and they've, in so doing, have extended lifespan. And we're quite excited about that because, again, it reflects healthy mitochondria should translate into a longer lifespan and a healthier lifespan. Again, just talking here on cellular damage, and if we get mitochondria working properly, then we potentially can reverse the aging process and slow it down. I will flip past this one. This slide just talks about the protein manufacturing apparatus being very close to mitochondria. Mitochondria aren't going well. They're spewing free radicals and into the cell, damaging that protein manufacturing apparatus and damaging that process. Another wee slide on mitochondrial transplantation, this case in liver, and again just another slide on aging. So we're now on the human research slide, and this is just talking about what human research we've done in the last year, and we'll talk a little bit about what we're doing going forward as well. So in this research, we looked at what MitoQ can do for a group of people with fibromyalgia and chronic fatigue. This was a research that was done where we did a 12-week course, and we had a three-arm, and two of the arms were blinded, and that means that people took either placebo or MitoQ, and they didn't know which one they were taking, and then they swapped and took the other. So they might have taken placebo for the first 6 weeks and then MitoQ for the next 6 weeks. So what we found in the fibromyalgia arm is a 24 to 33% reduction in pain for that group and a 10 to 13% in cognitive function. So that's quite exciting for people with fibromyalgia because there's very little that can be, there's very little that can be done in terms of symptom relief for fibromyalgia at this point. Interestingly, with the chronic fatigue blinded arm, we didn't get significant benefit. So we've got to go back and understand exactly why, because we do know we have a lot of customers who take MitoQ for chronic fatigue. It could be a placebo effect, but we just need to dig a little deeper to understand that, because in the next arm, there were people who knew that they were taking MitoQ, and you can see from this slide that they were getting really significant benefit from it. So we'll cycle back and reevaluate that over time. To the next slide, and this is a Spanish trial. We actually didn't know that this trial was being undertaken. It was a nice surprise when I got an alert on my inbox. But what they were looking at is a group of patients with type 2 diabetes, and they were evaluating the leukocytes, which are our white blood cells, and what they were looking at was that they know that in type 2 diabetes, these white blood cells are quite sticky, and they stick to our blood vessels. And so that increases your risk of cardiovascular issues. And so they put MitoQ into the mix, and what they found was that we reduce something called NF-kappa-B and something called tumor necrosis factor, and we actually reduce the stickiness of those leukocytes. And so that helps them understand a bit more about the disease and what's involved in it, and it suggests that MitoQ may be able to help or just reduce the risk of cardiovascular issues in that particular condition. We're really excited about the Colorado University trial. We talked a little earlier about how we helped bring old arteries and make them more flexible, and so we've done some human work with Colorado University. I don't want to steal the thunder, but I can tell you we've got some really interesting results, and they'll be published this year, but very positive. And certainly, based on that, we'll be certainly recommending anybody with any circulatory issues or cardiovascular concerns that MitoQ is going to be significantly helpful for them. The University of Delaware is doing some work on mitochondrial oxidative stress, blood vessel health again, and chronic kidney health. So we seem to have some interesting benefits for that particular population. Going forward, we're working with Auckland University for a trial with diabetes. We're working with the University of Oregon on a trial for multiple sclerosis, and working with a research institute in the States for asthma as well. So again, we know that a lot of conditions are associated with mitochondrial dysfunction. What's happening is that we're getting clinics that have patients who are taking MitoQ, clinicians are noticing a benefit, and that is kicking off research, and it's very exciting to be working with these teams. All right, so most of our research is in the mouse model, and this is because researchers in the laboratories are looking at different models and learning about mitochondrial dysfunction. And it's not necessarily all about MitoQ, but it's very much about the link between mitochondrial dysfunction, oxidative stress, and because MitoQ is such a significantly active molecule in terms of getting these mitochondria working properly, that's why we get tapped on the shoulder and asked if we can supply MitoQ for this research. So we're extremely grateful to these research groups, extremely grateful to the NIA, because they very much fund this work. And it's just a very exciting time for us as we start to see these results. So in this particular bit of research, there are many different diseases and conditions, including overconsumption of alcohol, a high-fat diet, certain viruses that can all impact on damaging our liver. And MitoQ seems to help reduce the fibrosis or scarring when the liver is under stress. So this wee bit of research is just going through that. This is a really wee bit of research. This one here is about feeding giving MitoQ to rats on a high-fat diet. Normally you see quite a change in the liver associated with that. And so what they did is they fed these rats a Western diet, if you will. And what they found is it protected the liver. It didn't head down the track of going down that fatty liver route. And interestingly, what we found too was that the rats on MitoQ didn't put the weight on that was expected. So that suggests that we're having a beneficial effect on perhaps the metabolism of this particular of the high fat diet, and that's quite exciting in itself. This next slide, we talk about anxiolytic effects. There's around 30% of people with anxiety who don't respond to regular medication, and so this bit of work was done by the Max Planck Institute in Germany, and they looked at a mouse model of high anxiety mice, and what they found was that giving MitoQ helped reduce that anxiety. So that ties again things back to perhaps in the brain, certain areas with mitochondrial dysfunction or high oxidative stress, and that's what is perhaps causing this particular condition. So that's again will be further evaluated and will help that population. And in this interesting bit of research, this is from the Colorado University, in a mouse model, they had a group of three mice, a young group, an old group, an old group with MitoQ. And so what they did there was looked at the old mice with MitoQ, and in that old group, we improved their grip strength compared to the old group mice without MitoQ. Interestingly, we actually, those old mice ran as long as the young mice, which is pretty impressive. They didn't run as far, but they certainly ran as long. So that's quite exciting for perhaps the older adults from the age of 70, that we very much help support mitochondrial function, and so help them with frailty, exercise function, etc. We didn't get it all right. I put the slide in here because whilst most of our research is pretty interesting and works well, in this particular bit of research here, we failed to prevent the age-related muscle mass, also known as sarcopenia. It's just muscle mass loss as we age. We thought perhaps that MitoQ would help with that, but it turns out it doesn't. So again, there's more work to be done in that area. On the anti-aging front, we flipped through a few slides here. There is the intervention testing program slide. I talked a little bit about that earlier. Again, we'll get that research out at the end, sometime in 2018. And we're quite excited about that. We expect to see a reasonable effect on anti-aging effect. And the next slide here is just there's a lot of research being done on telomere and how important they are. If we keep them long, then that's closely correlated to disease and longevity. And in this particular research, we slowed the shortening by 40%, and we increased the lifespan of. And this was just in a petri dish, so there's obviously a lot of work to be done to translate that into the human animal, if you will. But all roads lead to Rome, and they're fairly much indicative of what MitoQ is doing, and it's quite exciting. In terms of anti-aging research, there's a couple of ways of evaluating something assisting anti-aging. You can do your mouse model, which takes a few years. You can look at cell cultures. What you do is a meta-analysis, and what that means is you look at all of the research that's been done, and that's what we've done. So we've done this internally, and we're getting this done externally by a research institution in Auckland University this year. But what we've done is looked at all of the papers and looked at all of the markers, and as we age, there are certain biomarkers that increase, and there are certain biomarkers that decrease. And so what we looked at is said, right, let's measure everything and then just see what MyDoQ does. And the exciting thing here is that we increase the biomarkers that we want to increase, that are high when we're young and decrease as we age. And then we've decreased the biomarkers we don't like, and these are the ones that are low when we're young and increase when we're high as we age. So this, again, has got a high level of statistical significance, and it indicates that we should see some anti-aging effect and beneficial health effects with MyDoQ. So that's the summary. Thank you very much. I'll grab some answers. I know that a lot of you have people and family members with mitochondrial dysfunction. We know that MyDoQ has some beneficial effects for those that perhaps suffer from mitochondrial dysfunction that relate to oxidative stress and mitochondrial membrane dysfunction. So there'll be certain groups of subtypes of mitochondrial function that perhaps MyDoQ helps, and then there'll be areas where we don't help so much because there are specific enzymes or enzymes perhaps in that membrane or in the mitochondria that really don't relate to the mitochondrial membrane. It's very early days. We don't know a lot, but what we do know is that it's probably worth trying. And in the small groups of patients where the doctors we're working with are trialing MyDoQ, it appears to be having some good effects, but not always. So it's really just a matter of having a try, maybe looking at your MyDoQ cocktail, swapping out CoQ10 with MyDoQ, and really just seeing whether it can work for you or whoever's affected with mitochondrial dysfunction. So look, I hope that's been really helpful, and any questions, I'll be very happy to do my best to answer them. Thank you.
Thank you, Greg. We really appreciate all of this wonderful information and the insight into the work that MyDoQ is doing. And this is really exciting for our community, and we look forward to staying connected so that we continue to share your developments and progress with everyone. So now we'd like to open up the call for questions. If you have a question, feel free, if you're more comfortable, to email it to Mary Beth at mito411@mitoaction.org, or you can unmute your line using *6 to ask your live question. So Mary Beth, I'll turn it over to you for the Q&A.
Thank you, Kyra. I'm going to unmute everybody so that people can chime in. So this is a good time to make sure your phone is on mute so that we don't hear your dogs barking or the extra conversation. So hang on one second.
Conference is now in talk mode.
All right, conference is in talk mode. We should hear everyone. I have had a few questions come in, so I think I will get the ball rolling if that's okay. Greg, I love the presentation. Even if it's a mouse model or a petri dish, I just find this kind of information so exciting and so energizing, to forgive the word, for our community to know that there are some options out there that maybe we all haven't tried. And secondly, that there are groups like MyDoQ and other, you know, research people that are working so hard for our community to give us some relief. So just keep doing what you're doing, because there is a whole community of people cheering you guys on. So I had a question come in from Jan in Colorado. She is an adult and wondered about what you said about the manifestation of symptoms that decline by 10% after you hit your 30s. And wondered how that tied into her being not symptomatic as a child, but then becoming symptomatic as an adult.
Right, Mary Beth. So that's a really good question, and I think we all suffer a level of mitochondrial dysfunction, mitochondria are just fascinating little organelles. I think we know now that they are basically bacteria that about a billion years ago joined with ancient cells, and they did a bit of a deal and said, look, we'll provide the energy for your cell if you keep us warm and safe, and And so they still act, these mitochondria still act like bacteria in terms of they replicate by themselves, they've got their own DNA, they have their, they move around the cell dynamically. So if there's an area of the cell that needs more energy, then they're going to basically increase in numbers and move around to deliver that more energy. So you can have perfectly fine mitochondria as a kid, you can have perfectly fine mitochondria as an adult, but there are these mitochondria, they have, because the DNA in mitochondria are actually wrapped up in some proteins, but they sit inside the mitochondrial membrane as well. And one of the measures of mitochondrial dysfunction, if you will, or function, is the amount of mitochondrial DNA which is mutated, if you will. And so there'll be a certain tipping point where mitochondria flip into dysfunction based on the amount of DNA that's not, which is, I guess, mutated, if you will. So we some people are lucky; they might get through to their 80s before these mitochondria, flip into dysfunction. But you may personally have experienced a situation where you might have higher oxidative stress or perhaps less antioxidants in those mitochondria as you are younger. And so your mitochondria have actually just been slowly perhaps under more oxidative stress. So you might have been absolutely fine until you got to a particular tipping point, and that's when your mitochondria function or mitochondrial disease started to manifest.
That definitely makes total sense to me. I've always sort of viewed mitochondrial dysfunction as almost that allergy bucket, where if you can keep that bucket, you know, at a low level, it's not overflowing, you don't have symptoms. But once you add a bunch of stressors, whether it's colds or emotional stress or a terrible stomach bug or whatever it is, poor nutrition, you can make that bucket overflow and now you have symptoms that you did not have last month or something. So.
Yeah, and the other thing, Mary Beth, is everybody has their weakness. So it might be in the brain, or it might be in the gut, or the heart, or whatever. So it's just so different for everybody.
True. Yes. And let me just ask one more question from a caller. He wondered about what you felt about a liquid preparation of a CoQ10 type product, or ubiquinol, versus like a tablet or a solid product.
Right. So I think I heard you say, what's the difference between a tablet and a liquid version? Is that correct?
Right. Or do you think there's any difference between a liquid or a solid?
All right.
Solid.
Greg,
I'll mute the caller to get rid of that background call for right now.
If everybody can.
Conference is now in silent mode.
Right. Thanks, Mary Beth.
Sure.
So the liquid formulations, it's really interesting. With CoQ10, there are lots of different products on the market, and there's ubiquinol and ubiquinone, and there's liquids, and there's super-optimized absorption, etc. All of those products are designed to get more, the higher-optimized products are designed to get more CoQ10 from the gut into the bloodstream, and then that's going to logically give you more into the cells, and in theory you'll get more into the mitochondria. But the issue with CoQ10 is fundamentally it is a large oily molecule that even if you get three times as much from the gut into the bloodstream, it's got this issue that it's not getting into the mitochondria in significant levels. So you're going to get some benefit from it because it's going to reduce oxidative stress in the cell, but it's not going to get where it needs to get, and that's the mitochondria. And so this is the fundamental difference. We get asked this question a whole bunch. What's, how do you compare MitoQ to CoQ10, et cetera? And it's really, when I explain it, I say, well, look, if you've got CoQ10, you want to get into the mitochondria, it's the same as trying to park a truck into your garage through the front door of your house. You just don't get it in, right? So this is just the fundamental thing that MitoQ solved, is that we can get it through the mitochondria, and that's our secret sauce, and that's why it's so effective. Thank you.
That's awesome. I will unmute the line again so that I think we're ready to take some live questions. I would tell everyone to just keep in mind that it is a recorded call, so you may not want to be, giving away very intimate parts of your medical history. But if you have a general question, please feel free to ask. Here we go.
Conference is now in talk mode.
Okay, who would like to ask Greg a question?
I would love to, Mary Beth.
Go ahead.
Hi, Greg. This is Stephanie Pierce, and I just thank you so much for your research. I'm wondering, where can I purchase MitoQ?
Yeah, certainly. So we are online at MitoQ.com, and we ship around the world. If you just jump on there, you can find us. We, for our American friends, we are on Amazon.com as well. And we will be looking for some retail partners going forward in the States. And so that we hope to do that over the next year. But for the meantime, we've been selling MitoQ from MitoQ.com for the last 4 years. And we get it into the States within a couple of weeks. And we will be on the ground and shipping to you within a few days later this year.
That's wonderful. I do have one more question, and that is, secondary mitochondria disease or dysfunction is slightly different, I understand, from mitochondria disease.
Yeah.
What I want to know is, it seems like it's something, from what I understand what you said, that kind of affects everybody at some point in their life in some way or another as the mitochondria die off as during the aging process. Why is it important for people with secondary mitochondria dysfunction to have a protocol in place for their physicians to care for them?
Yeah, good question. I mean, I think it's just so new. Obviously, our knowledge is advancing so quickly, but it's just a matter of, I guess, raising awareness and discussing it with your physician if they're not familiar with it, and then just looking at a protocol where you're not only balancing the physical manifestation of the illness as well as perhaps going back to the root cause and seeing whether you can support the mitochondria and allow the body to perhaps heal itself or at least cope better with that mitochondrial dysfunction. Does that answer your question?
It does. Thank you.
Thanks, Stephanie.
Great. Thank you, Stephanie. Very good questions. I'm sure we're all pondering the same thoughts. Did anyone else out there have a question for Greg? Just check my email for 1 second to see what's come in. Okay, I have another question, and they're asking about dosage and compared, since it gets into those cells so much more effectively, they're wondering if the dosage then is a lot less than for a typical over-the-counter CoQ10 product.
Yeah, you bet, Mary Beth. So we have our doses in 5-milligram doses. So we recommend 10 milligrams, so 2 capsules, and that's generally for people who are healthy. And what we recommend is you try 2 capsules and a day, and you give that at least a month to see how you're responding. And if you like, you can actually increase it to 4 capsules a day, and you take them in the morning. We've found some people have experienced wakefulness if you take them at night. Everybody's a little different, so you take 2 in the morning, and it just depends also if you're quite small, then you just take 1 in the morning. And the other thing is if you do suffer from fatigue associated with mitochondrial dysfunction, that you can take 2 in the morning and then perhaps top up with 1 at around 2 o'clock. And that just seems to get people through the rest of the day as well. So compared to reps regular CoQ10, people are taking perhaps 100 to 300 milligrams. With MitoQ, it's just 5 to 10.
That is a very big difference. I can definitely see that being a point that might confuse some people. Holy cow, I was on 400 3 times a day.
Yeah.
And
absolutely.
It is true for many people, who take some of these more premium Mito or premium CoQ10 derivatives, do experience some wakefulness if taken later in the day. So definitely moving your doses around to best suit your needs, you know, works. Somebody exercises later in the afternoon, they want to be able to have that, you know, times well with that. But avoiding bedtime is probably a smart idea.
Yeah.
Well, it's almost been an hour, so I will put it out one more time. If there's any more questions that have come or that you guys have to ask Greg, this is your chance.
I have a question.
Greg, this is Ben Medulla. I have a question.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Regarding solubilization and critical micelle concentration, are you using a system such as that to be able to move the lipid agents through the body? It's been known for about 30 years, but critical micelle concentration seems to be a really good way to be able to get what we're trying to get to the mitochondria and get it in a position that it really is an advanced technology. So the critical micelle concentration, you know, allows us to stabilize the cells. So are you using that type of technology? If you don't care to answer that question in the group, we can discuss that privately.
Yeah, no, look, I'm happy to. We're reasonably lucky in that we haven't needed to go down the track of optimizing absorption. I know that there is some significant benefits when that technology is used, but for the persistence, specifically for MitoQ, it actually gets into the bloodstream reasonably quickly and from the bloodstream into the mitochondria, or into the cells of mitochondria, within about 30 minutes. So it's very, very specific in terms of how quickly it gets in there. So because of that, we haven't needed to go down that track. But certainly if there was issues there, then I think that evaluate that. The other thing is that it's a reasonably, we don't need a lot of MitoQ to actually make it into the mitochondria to be effective. So I think like if it was a 40 milligram, we would need to use that, but because we're really only needing 5 to 10 milligrams, we just haven't needed to go down that track.
Okay. Yeah, thank you for the answer.
You're welcome, Ben. Thank you.
Great.
Is there time for one more question?
Greg, do you have a few minutes?
Absolutely.
It should be quick. I'm just interested in the skincare line.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's also available on your MitoQ.com?
Yes, it is. Thank you.
And is that something that will kind of absorb through your skin and support your, bit like, lotion?
Yeah. So it's essentially, I mean, you look at young kids and they all have beautiful skin, and really the first manifestation we see of mitochondrial dysfunction is in our skin. We look at it every morning in the mirror. And so what we've done with this, our skincare essentially is designed a way to, it's MitoQ, and we've formulated it topically, and it goes through into the mitochondria in our skin.
Oh,
and
wonderful.
It just re-energizes them, and those skin cells start to act like they did when we were younger. So it's we just see an appearance, you get more denser skin, et cetera. And you also notice less pigmentation and the wrinkles appear less, et cetera. So it just, and we actually formulated our skincare first because we knew that if you see this stuff and how it works on your skin, it's a no-brainer as to understanding what it can do for the rest of your body in terms of internally when you take it.
Well, I'm excited for this to be into the health food stores and different places because there are apparently, you know, many people that have this dysfunction and that could benefit from it greatly. So I just applaud you, as I know we all do. And it's like, I think I've had the first hope that I've had in a long time to actually begin to have a life again. So thank you.
Yeah, look, we have very humbling stories from people, and we don't help everybody, but certainly it's just so worth a try, because if it does, then it's...
Exactly.
And look, you know, I sometimes feel like I've got the best job in the world because the... you know, there's some fantastic stories about people that, you know, have contacted us, and it has had a significant benefit. So I sincerely hope we can help.
Thank you so much.
Great. And I just want to clarify, Greg, that people who are taking your product for mitochondrial dysfunction would be better off to use the oral supplement, not the skin product.
Correct.
You can do both, but the skin product is probably not going to help their liver or their brain or other.
You got it. Yes.
Thank you.
Great. I just wanted to, and I thought I heard one other person, maybe Irina, who wanted to ask a question.
Yes, I was wondering how MitoQ might compare with ibuprofen.
With ubiquinol?
Yes.
Yeah, certainly. So ubiquinol is just essentially another name for coenzyme Q10, and there's ubiquinol and ubiquinone. Ubiquinol is higher activity, but it comes down to the fundamental issue of the ubiquinol will get into the cell, but it won't get into the mitochondria in significant amounts, and so that's the main difference.
Oh, I see. It was actually idebenone.
Oh, sorry, idebenone. Sorry, I missed that. Okay,
yeah.
So idebenone is similar to MitoQ in that it's a shorter version of CoQ10, but idebenone will get into the mitochondria, but it doesn't accumulate in the mitochondria like MitoQ. So you will, you know, it is good and it will get in, but because MitoQ's got that positive charge, and because mitochondria are negatively charged, that's the opposite attract, and it's like a magnet. The mitochondria actually just draw the MitoQ in, and that's why it's you know, I've read some literature, we're around 800, we get into the mitochondria around 800 times more than idebenone.
Wow.
I see. Thank you.
Thank you.
And any final questions? I think we're really ready to wrap up here. All right, great. Well, Greg, I really want to thank you for giving us an hour of your busy schedule and really helping us understand that we're in the same category of product with all the CoQ10 products, but there are many to choose from, and to know that there truly is a difference. And it, you know, it's probably worth us doing our own little clinical trials on ourselves to see if one product works best for us.
Absolutely. Well, I really appreciate the opportunity to talk with you. I'm just thinking right now, I'll put a little discount code just on the site. We'll just have it running for, I don't know, a week or something. I'll make it Mito Action. And if people just put that coupon in, and that just means if someone wants to try it off the back of the conversation today, then they can do so at a reduced rate. And just thanks for the opportunity to talk with you, and we love what Mito Action is doing. I know that you support and help so many people, so keep up the good work.
Well, thank you, and we really appreciate that coupon code. That will help many of us out as well.
Cool.
Kyra, do you have any final words?
Yeah, I just wanted to thank everybody for their time. You know, as Mary Beth said, to know that there are so many companies and individuals working so hard on behalf of this, it really is exciting. And so, Greg, we thank you for keeping things moving forward and never losing sight of this patient community. So we really, truly appreciate that. And we look forward, as I said, to continuing to share the great work that you're doing with the Mito community. So we thank you. Thank everybody for your thoughtful questions. And, you know, just a reminder, the call is available on our website. And if you find that as you leave the call and you think about it and you have additional questions, feel free to send those questions to us, and we can reach out to Greg and follow up. And I just want to thank everybody for your time. I encourage you to stay in touch with all of us at Mito Action. And we look forward to talking to everyone soon.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you, everyone. Have a great day.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.